A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, former Finn Harps captain and goalkeeper Gavin Cullen takes a look at the League of Ireland clashes for Finn Harps at Treaty United and Derry City at Drogheda United. In our club corner this week, Chris Ashmore has been speaking with the Swilly Rovers and the Greencastle clubs. It's another big weekend of Gaelic Games action. Brendan Kilcoyne looks at the Donegal semi-finals and Michael McMullen of Gaelic Life will take a look at the Derry senior quarter-finals. But first of all, we're going to start with boxing, and Donegal will host its first professional boxing show in 13 years next month when the Rumble in the Hills comes to the Yarra Centre in Letterkenny. Former Irish amateur star Joe Ward will headline the latest Elite Shear promotion on Saturday, November 18th, in what will be his first bout in Ireland as a professional. Rising Belfast ace James McGivern will feature in the co-headline bout and is set to challenge for a Celtic lightweight title. Liam and Paddy Walsh, Scotland's Tyler Jolly and Donegal's London-based super middleweight Danny Boyle are also listed for the show. Promoting the event is Donegal boxer Jason Quigley. He joined Greg Hughes in the 9 till noon show this morning to preview as big time boxing comes back to Donegal.
What are you up to at the moment? Are you in training? Are you between bouts? Are you what?
Yeah, we're training now. I'm always staying
always
in the gym.
Between bouts.
Yeah. Always between bouts, always staying in the gym, always staying ready. But yeah, we've got some, I think, exciting news today for Donegal and Donegal boxing.
You're not going to talk about your situation then. That's quite weird. See, easy knowing you're in the media game as well, Jason. Right, enough about me. I'll come back to you.
Yeah, I'll come back to you maybe.
Because we are talking about professional boxing returning to Donegal. It's a big deal, isn't it? It's been quite some time, Jason.
Yeah, I think it's 13 years right now since professional boxing has been in Donegal. And that was Paul McCluskey for a European title in the Aura Complex.
It was an EBU title, was it?
Yeah. So it was a fantastic night back then. I wasn't there myself, but I remember hearing all about it. And I think I was away myself on the national team boxing. So, but an unbelievable night. So it was super atmosphere, and that's what we're looking to bring back in here now again.
And it's good to see professional boxing returning to Ireland, isn't it? I mean, there's been some activity in Northern Ireland, of course, as well. But we had Katie Taylor's big performances, big shows. Another one coming up shortly, and a few other smaller shows as well. It's great to see this sport back live on the island.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Eddie Hearn actually came out recently there and says that Ireland need Katie Taylor for boxing, and that may be true right now at the minute, you know, in terms of like three arena big headline shows. But I want to throw another few fighters into the mix
and I want to
bring Irish boxing back up to the level that it deserves to be. And I believe that it comes from the roots.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It comes from, you know, old school way of growing and building fighters is taking your base from you from the very start. Do you know, growing from where you're from and family and friends coming out to support you, buying the tickets.
Building your following. Yeah.
Along and let people come along on the journey with you.
Yeah.
To those stages where maybe you get to the States and fight for European world titles, whatever it may be.
Did you feel you missed that, Jason? Obviously, you know, you had great support through the amateurs, but, you know, we saw what happened with the likes of Steve Collins, Byron McGuigan and others. You know, they had their big nights in Ireland. Did you miss that a little bit, that you'd have, you know, your family and friends and pockets of supporters, but you can't always really have to travel to build your record?
Definitely, you know, looking back now on my career, of course, I don't know if I would change a whole lot in terms of, like, obviously it was a brilliant contract that I was offered, and going to the States and learning my trade over there and being in the midst of fighting in the mecca of professional boxing from day one was great. But I would probably more of a business head on myself now and more of an experienced head on myself. I would have liked to maybe negotiated my contract, whereas I would have been guaranteed maybe one or two fights at home a year as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it's not easy, like, for people to fly to the States, and it's not easy to bring that following with you.
And you have to make extra sacrifices as well. I know it's all about sacrifice, but extra sacrifices in long periods away from home.
Yeah, without a doubt, it's it is a big sacrifice to make, and it mightn't look like that to people, you know, when they see you over in LA and doing all this stuff. And, you know, people don't realize the sacrifices that you do make. And of course, it was my passion. It is what I love to do.
That's Jason Quigley, and there's more available from Jason on our website, highlandradio.com. Okay, now let's move into League of Ireland football, and there's games for Derry City and Finn Harps tomorrow night, a Friday. Harps, of course, looking to end the season on a bit of a high. It's been a disappointing campaign, but they're looking to get some positive results as we head to the end of the First Division season. They're in Limerick, a place they've won twice already this year, taking on Treaty United tomorrow night. As for Derry City, if they are to keep the pressure on Shamrock Rovers at the top of the table, they have to win at Weavers Park against Drogheda United in the top flight. Looking ahead to both of those games this week on our League of Ireland talk, I've been joined by former Finn Harps captain and goalkeeper Gavin Cullen. Well, Gavin, I suppose we're going to look at the League of Ireland, primarily Finn Harps. Down in Limerick tomorrow night against Treaty United, I suppose two things get into this game. They had a good one last week against Kerry, so they did, and they've won already this year in Limerick, so it's not a place that they're going to fear going to.
Yeah. Look, obviously, getting the one last week is a wee bit of a boost, because their home record hasn't been great, and obviously with the loss of a manager and things a wee bit all over the place, you know, it's good for the players to get a result, good for the supporters to get a result. If they could back that up with another one this week and possibly try and finish this season on a high, it's at least something to start with. But obviously, the way the season has went for them, they haven't followed up too many decent results with another result, so it's very hard to know.
Yeah. What are the players actually playing for now at Harps, Gavin? Because there's, three games to go? And there's some of them in long-term contracts. Are they fighting for their place for next season, be it whoever is in charge, but that they want a place at Finn Harps?
Yeah, I suppose individually they'll all have different circumstances. Possibly some of them will want to leave. Some of them might be under contract, but might want out of it. Some of the lads might want opportunities that didn't play much all season to show what they can do. But then who are they showing? Where's the club going? So it's a difficult one. For probably most of the players, it's probably just playing out a season, and it's not a nice place to be in, because obviously there's no relegation. They're probably not going to go up a position in the league at this point. So it's a bit of a strange feeling for them, I would say, at this point.
But having won down in Limerick already, listen, they're very capable of taking another one against Treaty on the road.
Oh, they are, and obviously with no pressure on the results and stuff at this stage of the season for them. You know, sometimes you get more out of players when they go out and play like that. So, look, they'll obviously, Darren and Tommy and Kevin and all will obviously be trying to get them right to win the match, and hopefully, as I say, they finish the season with a run of results, which always helps. Like, it always helps supporters as well.
Yeah. Well, we haven't spoke since Dave Rogers actually stepped away from the role a number of weeks ago. Gavin, in your mind now, what are Harps have to do managerial-wise going forward? Because Dave Rogers was in there in a full-time capacity. Do Harps need to sort of re-examine that and as a full-time manager the way to go again?
I'm not too sure. Suppose full-time in terms of, it feels like a full-time job, but is it a full-time role when you don't have the players at your disposal? Full-time, it's probably not. But it's certainly a job that will take up a lot of time and a lot of commitment from whoever. I would be more inclined to see, like, Harps obviously tried to go the full-time and the professional and create this really good atmosphere and environment, and to be honest, it looked at a stage early, very early doors, where it was very positive. Obviously, results didn't go the way as planned, and maybe the players weren't there, or the buy-in, or the quality of the results weren't there. So obviously, as the season progressed, that positivity waned, and the season sort of petered out. So, like, in terms of your question, is it a full-time role or not? I'm not too sure, because, as I say, without full-time players, a full-time squad, and a full-time staff, a full-time manager is a lot of the time, I suppose, twiddling his thumbs because he's nobody to work with. So it's a difficult one. I would be more inclined to go for the right candidate at this point in time for Harps that is going to help the club and help the club move up the table and challenge for promotion in the next year or so.
Is that candidate local based?
Look, I don't know. I would like to believe so. I think there's enough good candidates locally there. If it suits Harps and it suits them, I would like to see that because to get the buy-in of the local players is very important for Harps. Whether it suits the person or people that they want and they want it in terms of their work commitments, family commitments, and all the rest, it's hard to know. But I would like to see it being one of the local guys this time, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay. Well, as we have to see out the remainder of the season, first of all, and they've got one more home game left after this weekend's clash with Tralee down at the Markets Field in Limerick. Derry are also on the road in the Premier Division against Drogheda United, and if they were to take victory on Friday night, Gavin, it means they've closed the gap to Shamrock Rovers to 2 points, but Rovers do have a game in hand, and there's only three or four games left as well in the Premier Division. Very much a must-win game for Derry City if they're going to have any sort of slight hope of being involved in the battle for the title come the final game of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's Derry need to win every game and hope that Rovers slip up. Obviously, it was a big weekend a couple of weeks ago when Rovers drew with UCD and Derry slipped up and lost to Sligo. That was a big game changer for Derry. I think if Derry got 3 points that night, I think the pressure would be on Shamrock Rovers and you'd an early tag Derry as almost favourites. But look, it's taken a big ask. They won all their games and a big ask for Rovers. They lose a couple of games in the last five games of the season. So. But all Derek can do is try and get the result on Friday night and keep the pressure on as much as possible.
Yeah, see a former Derryman's hanging up the international boots. James McLean has decided to step away from the Ireland fold after the New Zealand game next month. He's a Centurion. He got his 100 cap, of course, this year for the Republic of Ireland. But a fine example of a footballer that comes through youth ranks and local clubs and then is able to step onto an international stage. Gavin.
Yeah, the unbelievable story, and James is a credit to himself. Like to end up having the career that he's had and still having, has been an absolute credit. Like I've seen James playing when he was younger locally and coming through the ranks at Derry, playing in the Ulster Senior League, and then playing against him with Harps against Derry in the first division. How much he's progressed and the sheer work ethic and attitude of him throughout his career has been unbelievable, and it shows what the rewards you can get. They end up with 100 caps for Ireland, and to be honest, in most of them games, he's done really, really well. So look, credit to him, and he's buying out on having an unbelievable international career.
Just finally, could he slot into the Derry City lineup next season?
I'd say he definitely could. I suppose again, it has to suit all the parties. There was a lot of talk about it this summer. It obviously didn't transpire. Like James obviously has still a lot to offer in club football, and he seems to have a real hunger to keep playing. So like it's a, as I say, it'd be entirely up to him and his choice about coming to Derry or staying in England or Scotland. It's hard to know.
Yeah, just finally then, under the any shown league, you've won four from four, top of the table of the Premier Division. So there's no big major surprises in the first handful of games for you, was there, Gavin?
Look, it's like we're obviously happy to be winning the matches at this point. I think there's a few years left in us. I think starting the season, we had to regroup and sort of start to understand the opposition we were playing. We're starting to get to grips with it. We're starting to get our full squad available over the last week or two, and we can see that on the depth on the bench and the squad we have. But they've been tough games, like. And credit to the teams that we've played so far. They've actually really put it up to us and have phases of the games where we were under pressure and on the back foot. But the players are responding, and I've noticed myself over the last 2, 3 weeks in training, all the levels are we're starting to go up the gears. And look, that's a good positive for me and for the management group that we're starting to do that. We now know where we're at, where we're playing, and what we're doing, and the league and the fixtures and stuff like that is really well run, really, really organized, and stuff like that. And the teams have been good. The teams we've played against so far have really been putting it up to us, we haven't really had, bar one game, a real easy 90 minutes. So credit to everybody involved in that, you know.
All right, Gavin, as always, we appreciate you taking time out to speak to us on the Score programme. And good luck with the football at the weekend.
Dead on, Ashton. Thank you.
There you have it. That's Gavin Cullen. And by the way, Fun Harps against Treaty United tomorrow night. We will have updates from Michael Cook as from the 7:45 kickoff. Now, moving into our Club Corner segment of the show, the two clubs that we're focusing on this week are Innishowen Premier Division outfit Greencastle, and shortly we'll hear from the Swilly Rovers Club in the Donegal League. But it's to Innishowen first of all, and Greencastle FC, who were beaten finalists in the Ulster Senior Cup last season, are currently joined third in the Jackie Crossan Premier Division of the Innishowen League. This week they will take on their near neighbours Glengad United on Sunday afternoon. Greencastle manager Darren Hembelstall has been speaking with Chris Ashmore about the season so far, his hopes for the year ahead, and underage soccer at the club for both boys and girls.
Well, Darren, early stages in the league. You've played 4, 1-2, lost 2, so a mixed bag. But there's no doubt about it, this division is going to be very competitive this year. You lost to Coghill last week. I suppose the question a lot of people are asking, even at this stage, will be, can they be stopped?
Tough question, all right. Listen, we played them in the Ulster Cup final there last year. So we know they're a quality team, you know, and obviously they came down from the Ulster Senior League this year back into junior football. So to be honest, once that happened, everyone knew they were the team probably to beat, and themselves and Bunkrana. But listen, we got to believe we can beat them. Obviously, we lost last week on Sunday to them 4-1. Frustrating game for me personally, you know, and obviously the players are very frustrated at it too. But we got to believe we can get back to winning ways this weekend to Glengad and hopefully just kick on from there.
Given the tightness of things, every point on the board early on could be crucial.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you know, like I was saying to my lads there last week, like you don't go into any Innishowen Premier game like thinking you're just guaranteed 3 points. You know what I mean? Basically, if you're not on it, you won't win the games. So, like, I know a lot of people are saying, like, you know, Coghill and Bunkrana, they won't drop many points, and they probably won't drop too many. But there's very, very tricky games, and especially when you come into the winter months and stuff like that, you know, and the weather's not the greatest, and there's really, really tough tasks out there, you know, Illies and Glengad and Clamani, they all have quality outfits.
So tell us about your squad. Are there many changes from last season?
There's a few. We didn't lose too many. We probably just lost one or two, and we brought in about maybe five. So I think we've strengthened our squad. Obviously, external factors such as the GAA and stuff at the moment going on at the same time is not helping us, because we're obviously just a small community here. So a lot of the boys do the dual playing, like so they play the GAA, and Mayville GAA at the moment has gone very well. They have a junior championship final. So obviously we've had a lot of boys playing in both. It has been quite a difficult at the moment. But when we get everyone back, yeah, we'll have a really, really strong squad, I think. A much stronger squad than last year.
There's several cup competitions that you'll be involved in. And, you know, who knows, maybe you'll get a good run in one of them.
Yeah, so like in 2 weeks we have the FAI Junior Cup, which we're really looking forward to. We're playing Castle Finn. They actually knocked us out last year out in Castlefin. I literally had got the job a day, and that was the next day. So I'm sure the boys want to make that right from last year. And obviously then all the other cups as well. So as my captain said to me last year, like when I came in, he goes, any cup, any year is a good year, you know what I mean? So any bit of silverware. So listen, we're just going to take every week as it comes, try our best, try to win, and hopefully I'll be good enough, you know.
Broadening things, looking at the club in general, of course, you've got the Greencastle Utes, and at underage, a structure there. I saw some photographs on Facebook. I think it was your under-11s at the Brandywell recently.
Yeah, they won the cup. Yeah, brilliant for them. The club goes strength and strength, to be honest with you. A lot of effort has been brought into the development of the junior teams. I know Sean Kavanagh here has done a lot of hard work with that. And then obviously the ladies, they got to a cup final this year as well. So the whole club in a whole is been pretty positive. They're constantly striving to improve. There's a good committee there that are willing to put the work in to improve the clubs.
And I see you had quite a crowd up at the Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland women's game,
yeah,
at the Aviva. So that's great for everyone.
It is, it's brilliant. And, you know, like, obviously women's football's gone from strength to strength. It's great to see it kind of trickle down.
Yeah, and I note this weekend, I think the Innishowen Girls Academy, there's trials for the under-12s. And it's great that clubs all over the peninsula are getting involved. There's a direct spin-off from the World Cup.
Yeah, absolutely, you know, and the flip side to that as well is it kind of gets more parents involved to say maybe hadn't been involved with the football club before, and it kind of creates even more community spirit.
So tell us a little bit about the facilities that you have.
To be honest with you, when I first came up here in 2013, I was actually shocked how good a lot of the facilities were. Every year, they're just getting better and better. Sleep and Crana recently, they got permission to for a full-size AstroTurf pitch. Our own club are striving all the time to improve facilities, even for the senior players. We've recently bought like a video camera so we can analyse games. At the moment, we have a great little AstroTurf pitch there, and we have a little training area which the caretakers done a lot of work on, and then we obviously have our full size pitch. Obviously, like every other club, we're looking to maybe try to improve things. Like, we'd love another second pitch if we could get one, and it would take a lot of pressure off senior pitch. But yeah, I can't complain. Everything since I've come into the club has been great.
Well, Darren, you're a native of Kildare. You've been up in Greencastle, you said, there since 2013. So what was your playing days like back in Kildare?
So back in those days, like, I played for Leaflip United, a club which we were talking about facilities earlier, probably have some of the best in the country. Great work by Robbie Martin and his father down there. But I wasn't great, to be honest with you. But, you know, I always gave my best. And then when I came up here then, I started coaching. So it was great, you know.
Looking to the rest of the season, you know, who knows what could happen. You're going to be involved in numerous competitions, and getting a bit of momentum is part of the key.
Yeah, 100%. We were only talking about, it's funny enough, for training. Like, you know, it's only four league games in it. We're in the League Cup semi-final already. And then obviously we have the FUI Junior Cup to look forward to, and also the other two cups. As you said, it's very early, plenty to play for. And we'll just take one game at a time is all we can do. And hopefully we'll get some success towards the end of the year.
That's Darren Hempenstall of Greencastle FC. We're going to go for a commercial break. When we come back, we'll be hearing from Remelton and Swilly Rovers FC.